All right, so this is a famous club, and maybe infamous too. You'll find out why in just a minute. Yeah, so it was called Slug's Saloon when it became a bar and nightclub. Prior to that, it was just kind of a hole in the wall in one of the most crime-ridden, dilapidated sections of New York City. It sat at 242 East 3rd in the East Village, and it was pretty bad around there. Initially, it had served as kind of a Ukrainian bar and grill. Believe it or not, it's a fact. Ukrainian bar and grill. And then later, as the neighborhood continued to delve into crime and all sorts of creature comforts that were illegal, the Ukrainians got out of there, and it kind of became a meeting place for drug dealers, as that was the main business in that area. And finally, this guy, Jerry Scholes, and a friend, decided they could put a little club in there. And they opened it up, and they had a sign carved by a professional artist out of wood, put it out front, looked really, really nice, and it was called Slug Saloon. But as we find out and are reminded on a regular basis, the government has a dim eye of people having too much fun. Yeah, they can't have too much fun. And so they didn't like that whole saloon thing. There was a law that had been on the books since Prohibition that you could not call any establishment in New York a saloon. And although Prohibition was long gone by the mid-60s, this law stayed on the books. And you know, the good authorities in New York City felt obligated to enforce it, although the main reason they were created was long gone. So there's Slug's brand new establishment, and now they got to change the name. What do? You change it. And they changed it to Slugs in the Far East. Far East? Why Far East? Because it was in the East Village. And it was far away from where people felt safe. So it was called Slugs in the Far East. And of course, you couldn't carve all that on a sign. So they just changed the sign to Slugs. And that's what it was called, Slugs. Jazz club, and eventually jazz club, and they catered to the more experimental music. Arnett Coleman and Albert Eiler and Pharoah Saunders and people like that. They wouldn't let Cecil Taylor in there. He's a far character, piano player. They wouldn't let him in there because they say every time he would come into the joint, he would tear up their grand piano because he'd just be pounding and putting on strings and stuff. And they wouldn't let him in there. So he never had a gig there, although he hung out. But experimental music. Even Sun Ra, who not a lot of people know about Sun Ra. My high school band director was a great Sun Ra fan and got angry with me because I would not go see Sun Ra and his intergalactic orchestra when they came to Tampa Bay area. And this was an unusual group. Sun Ra was a big band leader. And he and all of his cast, all black, dressed up like they were from outer space. They had all these weird costumes with shiny glitter and Teflon and all kind of stuff and pointed hats and antennas and stuff, and they played this weird jazz and this experimental jazz. And Sun Ra had a regular gig there on Monday nights for years. 3 or 4 years he was there in the middle to late 60s. So this club developed a following initially because of all the cutting edge avant-garde experimental jazz that was there, and for the fact that all the young musicians who were coming up at that time were playing this hard-driving experimental music. People like Miles Davis and Sonny Rollins and Art Blakey and people like that who had established groups in the hard bop and post bop and, you know, era, they would come there to find young talent. Miles Davis is reputed to have found Jack DeJohnette and Keith Garrett playing in a group at Slugs, because that's where the young hot cats came. So a lot of the established musicians came to Slugs just to recruit new talent. It was a hot scene. The audience was as eclectic as the music and musicians. You would see every kind of revolutionary there, from Timothy Leary to Salvador Dali was a regular at this club. Because he had this weird art, you would assume he's gonna like weird music. Birds of a feather flock together. So there was Salvador sitting in there, you know, listening to the music as it drifts down the walls. So things developed, the audience grew. This club was weird. It wasn't very wide, but it was deep. So you went into a narrow passageway to get in, and then you walked a long way to the back of the club, and that's where the bandstand was. So it was kind of like a shotgun club, you know? And eventually, it became a place for the more, how shall I say this, acceptable jazz. So people like Sonny Rollins would play there. People who were getting their chops together but playing more in the center row, like Herbie Hancock and people like that. They would play there, Donald Byrd, people like that. They would play there. And the audience grew. Now the place could only hold 75 people legally. But we do know that there were sometimes 150 people packed into this club, because after all, it was already in a crime-ridden area, and you know, nobody counting heads in this place. So it was happening. And it was always in a rough neighborhood, but the people came. Even the Baroness came. They say one of the most extraordinary things to see at Slugs was the Baroness would sometime bring Thelonious Monk by, and she would pull her big Bentley right up in the middle of what would have been one of the worst neighborhoods in the village and park it there, and wouldn't anybody touch it, because all the thieves and crooks and whatever, they knew that was a Bentley. And they knew who the Baroness was, and the Baroness was considered hands off, as she was just beloved by everybody. You didn't touch her stuff. So she could park her Bentley around the street, wouldn't nobody touch it. But park your Ford next to it, you may come out and find it on bricks when you come outside the club. So it was that kind of a place. Things are going great in the late 60s and into the early 70s. And then in February of 1972, Lee Morgan had been recruited by Mr. Schultz to play a gig there. Lee was going through some hard times, having left the Messengers because he just could not, I should say, he couldn't keep his health and his habits from interfering with his work. But he had cleaned up and was starting to reassert himself. His common-law wife was actually managing him and starting to get him cleaned up and getting him more gigs and all of that. And February of 1972, they had an argument, allegedly, over some woman that Lee had brought to the club. And that argument ended when his wife went out to the car, got her gun, and at point blank range, shot and killed Lee Morgan right there in the bar area of Slugs. I think this may have proved too much for Jerry Schultz. By the end of 1972, he closed Slugs. He always talked about the fact that there is honor among thieves. The thieves, although they knew it was in a bad neighborhood, they respected the fact that he kept that club open in that area, and nobody bothered him. He said he would leave the club at 3-4 in the morning on a motorcycle with his pockets and his bags full of cash, and no one would approach him and touch him because he was, once again, you don't touch this guy, he's doing good stuff in the community, blah, 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 blah. But the death of Lee Morgan in his club, and Lee's blood on the floor was more than he could take, and so he closed that club. He actually left this country and moved to Europe to get away from guns and violence and to get closer to jazz. And there are actually interviews that you can find online, if you just do a little research, where he talks about his experiences running the great Slugs Saloon, or Slugs in the Far East, or just plain old Slugs. Let's remember that although Lee Morgan was killed there, and that is a blight on the reputation of this club, there was a lot of great music made there, and a lot of young musicians got their first chance on stage at Slugs, and many of them went on to worldwide fame because of Jerry and the presence of Slugs at 242 3rd in the East Village. I hope you've enjoyed this little discussion. Thank you.